my name is Sebastian. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 12/28/24. So I am 474 days sober now. I started drinking a little bit before. My family is riddled with alcoholics, addicts. I am a drug baby. My mom used speed meth while she was pregnant with me, so kind of always had something wrong with me in the sense of always wanting to crave something. That was a big start to my story. But I took my first drink of alcohol at 15 years old. I don't remember what it was. I didn't really have like that, oh, I've arrived moment. It just was like, okay, this is like something that I can do, and this takes away some of the thoughts and feelings that I'm feeling. And I apologize if I'm a little bit back and forth. This is only my second time speaking. And also, if I say on a lot, I'm just gonna like jump or like call myself out on that real quick. I was taken away from my family and my mother at the age of 8 years old. I got adopted at 12 and lived in foster care pretty much until my upbringing. And got adopted at 12, like I said. And my adopted dad is also an alcoholic. He actually spoke at Peter this week. So it was really, really a big privilege to see what AA can do for me and just my father as well. Before coming into the rooms, I was in a really, really long-term relationship. It was 8 years. And like, I was a big whiskey drinker. That was like my go-to. And after I think like 4 years, 5 years of drinking that, I was like, I'm just gonna drink beer. Because like, every time I drink whiskey, I'm just gonna black out. So this is like me trying to control it. And like I mentioned, like I was with my partner, or my ex, and she didn't like the fact that I drank, so I was a closet drinker. So my car, my closet, was like full of alcohol, beer, and like, this is like the summer, and so it's like 90, you know, and like on my way home, before like I got into the community, I would just like pop one or two beers, and they are like literally 100 degrees, and this is my like, I'm gonna do this because I need to feel better. And I did that for another 4 or 5 years. And like right before I tried to get sober, I knew that things were wrong. It was going downhill quick, and it was just getting worse. Right before I got sober, the 3 months before, every time I drank, I was getting bigger. And like making a lot of attempts on my life, self-mutilation, and I didn't see any way out. I was really wanting to be out of this world, but I was too scared to do anything about it. So I thought if I just drink and continue to drink excessively, that this is gonna be what I want. And like, you know, I found AA. And I'm not a white chip wonder or anything like that. I got 30 days sober, California sober. That ended up me getting 30 days sober from that. And then I was like, you know what? I deserve this. I'm gonna go drink. So I bought some, found my way out, blacked out, woke up in jail, told in a padded room, one of those pickle suits, or the turtle suits, whatever you want to call it, said that I assaulted an officer. And I don't recall any of it. And I absolutely just threw my life away. And the time that I was in jail for 5-6 days, I got bailed out. All the stuff that I had, my belongings with my ex, all got put in storage and lived with my dad. So when I got out, I got hit hard. But like I mentioned, I got 30 days before I like would go to Fever. Fever was the first meeting I went to. I thought that Fever was the only meeting in Tampa. And so I would only go every Saturday, and like, I don't know if it was me or whatever. First time I went to Fever, like, I just smelled a bunch of weed or swag, whatever. And like, I was like, I'm home. Like, this is it. Like, you know, no alcohol, and that's it for me. And that's like what I really, really remember. But at the time, like a week before, like 3 days before, I like relapsed, went to jail and everything. I met my old sponsor. And I walked up to the little corner table. He was like, do you have a sponsor? Do you have a book? I said, no and no. He wrote down his name and phone number in his book. And when I got out of jail, the first thing that was given to me from my ex and somehow just came back into my possession was my book. And I had no numbers. I was so desperate and like disappointed with where my life has gone, because like I mentioned, my family's full of alcohol. It's like to be, you know, one of the family members, you go to jail, you do this, you do that, like you're part of the family. And I always thought that I was never gonna be like that. And I got there. So I ended up calling my old sponsor. And he was like, what happened? Where'd you go? Explain the situation. And then he got me plugged in with all the guys here at YPG. And I met a bunch of these guys, a bunch of them, at 5, 6 days sober. And I started coming here for the first year of my sobriety. And it was the biggest change. It finally felt like I had a home, family, and people that I could actually lean on and actually care about me. So, YPG's great. So, just make this your home group. You know, we'll stay sober. Okay, so I went through the steps with my first sponsor. I was on probation. I was facing two 33 felony charges. I was like, I'm going to go to jail. I had a deadline. I was like, I'm going to get these steps done. This is like where, like, I guess step three comes in, like the willingness. I was willing to do anything. I made the point to myself that I was going to get done with my steps, so that when I do go to jail, I'm going to like host a meeting. I'm going to like have my steps and I'm going to help somebody. And thankfully, about, you know, 7, 8 months sober, I went to court and did get like full probation, got PTI. So that was a blessing in itself. And I very much rushed through my steps, which I do not suggest. Like, you really, really have to, like, accept 1, 2, and 3. Like, 1, 2, and 3, I struggled with. Like, I grew up, I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. Like a lot of Mormons, I was raised Mormon, so I thought I had an understanding of higher power or God. I did not, not whatsoever. I've been a lot of different religions, especially agnostic. Forgot where I was going with that. I'm sorry. Alright, so, yeah, I did go through my steps, I finished them, and, like, the minor inconvenience, because I never really turned my will over to the higher power or to God, I would freak out on everything. And, like, the smallest inconvenience, I would lose my mind over. And at some point, I decided to switch sponsors. And going through the steps again, I was like really, really committed to doing everything and doing it very thorough this time. And like the first time I did my 4-step, I cried, you know, and 4 or 5, I'm sharing that. But the second time going through my steps, going from 4 all the way to 8 and 9 were the most painful things I've ever done in my entire life. Like, it was brutal. And I do have a sponsor. I sponsor others. And I got my sponsor going through eight. I had it going through eight. And like I watched his demeanor change. And you know, that was a lot for me. But again, I apologize if I'm like back and forth. Trying to like touch base on everything. Okay, so when I got out of jail, I lived with my dad for I think 30 days in his apartment complex, and they gave me 48 hours to live. And I was like terrified. I had a dog. I made a bunch of calls to guys in my network to figure out what the best option was, and I was entirely ready to, you know, rehome my dog, go to sober living. And I think on the last 12 hours of me having to make a God show up for me, one of the guys in my network was like, "You can rent, you know, you can live in my place." And so that was huge for me because I thought I was going to go sober living, have to give up my dog that I've had for the past 9 years. But I was entirely willing to do anything to keep myself back here. Like, coming in here after facing the things that I faced, I had a death grip on this. Like, I wasn't going to let anything get in my way and or take it away from me. And around about a year, things started going good, like really, really good in my life. I was about to get off probation and like get my charges dropped and dismissed. And like I kind of had this idea of like, well, I'm a year now, like I'm cured. I don't need to go to these anymore. That didn't work. Like, the character defects came out like insane. I was going 1-2 meetings a week, and like, it was miserable. It was absolutely miserable. So like, resting under laurels and or like ego, like at some point in my sobriety, like I mentioned, like I came here early on, I had my network of guys, and I was like, I don't need any more phone numbers. Like, I know enough people, like, my network is big enough. And at some point in my sobriety, I realized that, like, that is just insane. Like, the delusion of that. Like, it's just stupid. Like, a lot of the things, like, I'm still insane to this day. I do stupid, stupid things. But, like, I follow that up with a 10-step inventory and or calling my sponsor and one of the guys in my network. Like, I used to, early sobriety, call 5 people a day, try to talk to them. I didn't do it perfectly. A lot of them, I would call trauma dump and just be like, "All right, cool, I gotta go." Don't do that. Get out of self. Try to be of service to others. It doesn't always feel like it helps, but it definitely, it gets the point in the right direction. Like, and also too, like, in my sobriety, I've gotten new lows. Like, things that, like, if this happened to me while I was drinking, I'd be gone. I'd be dead. Like, as, I think, 2-3 weeks right after my 1 year, my birth brother, he never was officially one of us or anything like that, but he got really, really drunk and ended up taking his own life. And the day that I found that out, my first response or my first reaction wasn't to like get drunk or do anything like that. My first reaction was to call my sponsor, ask him what I did. Did 100% of whatever he told me, because like, that's what I'm trained to do. That's what my body does before my brain functions. And that's why the importance of like early sobriety is making the phone calls, building the habits. It's not like, I know sometimes the phone is 1,000 pounds. At my point of sobriety, I kind of suck at calling a bunch of people. Like I do have some people that I really, really talk to and who I see every single day. But no matter what happens, like you don't drink or drug no matter what. Like it will get better. There's a sign at Yama. If none of the things okay, it's not the end. Or something like that. It's super stupid, but all these one-liners. Halfway through my sobriety, I got, this too shall pass, that's the martyrs. This is a little reminder. I'm all over the place, I'm so sorry. I have done a lot of big things in sobriety, things that I never thought that I'd do. I got a pretty good job. At my last job, just to show how insane and much of an alcoholic I was, I went to 2 interviews completely blackout, and I somehow still got the job. In the course of the 2-3 years that I was there, my manager was like, in your interview process, you said a lot of things. And you don't reflect that. And I'm like, I don't remember. but in seeing things like that, that's the delusion of my alcoholism. And it's terrible. It's so bad. And there's so many more things. But I have a good job now. I have people around me that care about me. I have relationships with my father, with my mother, and I get to show up and be like a son, which I never got that privilege. I would always, anytime I would have a phone call with anybody in my family, it was time. It was okay, we're on the phone for this amount of time. How drunk can I get by the end of this call so I don't have to be engaging in this? And now I get to show up and be there, have conversations, check in. And that is one of the biggest lessons in my life. Just to be normal. I never anticipated my life to be this good, especially this fast. Sometimes I really kind of get imposter syndrome, thinking that I don't deserve this. But that's, step 2. I came to believe that higher power, or power greater than ourselves, will restore us to center. I really, I mentioned, my first time going through the steps, I struggled. I thought that I had this stuff figured out. And I had no idea, not even a grasp, of 1, 2, and 3. And now in my life, right after everything, I hated every single day. I was this is miserable, I hate my life. But I kept telling myself, today wasn't a good day. But if I keep on this path, if I keep going, then it's gonna be okay. I'm gonna make it, it's gonna be alright. And all I did was focus on getting till midnight every single day. And now I'm okay. I'm at a point in my life where if I lose my job, I'm okay. If anything bad happens, I'm okay because I'm okay with myself. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for the people I have around me. The guys in my network and the friendships that I've developed here. I know, like, I'm still super new to this, even though I haven't taught you at a time. At the end of the day, like, we all just have today. Like, you know, if you have 24 hours, or if you're just barely getting sober, like, that's a miracle. Like, the fact that we're alcoholics and we're not drinking, that's the biggest miracle in the world. How much more time do I have? No, I know that, but I'm gonna pull a little of my phone. That's crazy. Good? All right. I'm good. Thank you.